So I'd encourage you guys to tune in and take advantage of it. I just want to review just very, very briefly, not really review from last week, but just a couple of thoughts wrapping up Saul. And then we're going to get right into David this morning's sermon. This little, probably going to get one more Sunday on it. It's called Lions and Bears. And this morning's subtitle is Seize It by the Beard. Seize It by the Beard. With a D on the end, not beer like you drink. But last week, guys, we talked a lot about Saul and the fact that when he was chosen by God, everybody say chosen by God. Right, say it all together again one more time. Chosen by God. Saul was chosen, right? The Bible says when they go to, when they're casting lots and they find Saul, the Bible says that nobody knows where he is. They ask God, where did Saul go? Where is this guy? We know he's here. And it says that the Lord answers them and says he's hiding over there in his baggage. And the people go and pull him out of that place, right? So Saul does not voluntarily deal with his baggage there. It says that the people draw him, they got to drag him out. And and what happens quickly right after that, church, is that he hears about, so he's anointed king, right? He hears about the Amalekites, I believe it is, attacking some town that's under Israel's jurisdiction, right? And he says that he becomes angry, and the Spirit of the Lord comes mightily upon Saul, and he rallies all these men, and they go and fight and kill them all and all these things. And so one of the points I made last week was saying this, that I think Saul got a taste of what it is like to be anointed by God, right? How many of y'all been felt, just you feel, come on, and you know, like, whoa, there's something different going on right now. I'm at a new level, right? The Spirit of God comes on you, and I love Bill Johnson says, the Spirit of God is in me for my sake, but he's on me for your sake, right? Anointing is not intended to change you. Anointing is what God has, is God equipping you to get something done. Right? The indwelling Spirit of God is what changes my life. He works sanctification and those kind of conviction, all that stuff. That's the inward Holy Spirit. That's a relationship with the Holy Spirit, right? But I can be anointed by the Holy Spirit, have no relationship with him. Because it's just to get a job done. Is that right? So what happens with Saul, and we can modernize it, we've seen many, many, many preachers and gifted folks, whether they're even not on the pulpit, but see people that are just mature and solid, and all of a sudden they get divorced. Boom. You're like, you've been married 35 years. How are you divorced? You know? But something is going on. There's been something grinding in the darkness of their soul for years and years and years, and they just ignored it. It's baggage that they're hiding in, right? What I said last week, church, is that the baggage that Saul refused to deal with eventually took him down, right? Years ago, I was a brand new baby Christian, like I'm talking like a few months old. This is one of the first times the Lord ever spoke to me something kingdom-wise, right? So I remember the Lord, this is what the Lord said to me. He says, son, is it more effective for the devil to try to take you out if you influence 10 people or if you influence 10,000 people? Right? The devil's not stupid, everybody. He does stupid things, right? He's not creative, right? He uses the same stuff against us all the time. Can I get him in on that, right? He knows what messes with us, so he'll come at you with the same. It gets tiresome after a while. Is that right? You're like, really, this again? Come on. But do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible calls the devil wily, right? Not Wile E. Coyote, like this, where the guy that blows himself up with Acme rockets all the time. He's not like that. Wily means cunningly wise. So think about this. Does the devil have some kind of inclination of someone's destiny? Can he see someone that maybe has potential to be very successful at some point? Do you think the devil can see that? I do, right? So is he going to mess with you while you're on your way up, or is he going to wait and know that you're hiding stuff, and he's going to wait till you get way, way up there and then pull the rug out from under you, right? What's more effective, seeing somebody that sits in the back of the church fall into sin or the guy on the platform fall into sin? Right? Good? So it's about dealing with baggage, right? So two statements, and then we're going to move right into Dave, and I've got a really powerful word for you this morning. Your baggage will not prevent God from using you, but it greatly increases the chances of catastrophic failure in your life. See, church, the anointing of God can be deceiving. Amen. It's not, God anointing me does not remove the responsibility that I have, that every one of us has to be conformed to the image of Jesus. As a matter of fact, if I've got an anointing to, the Bible clearly tells us, if I've got an anointing to teach and be in front of people, I actually have a greater responsibility, according to the scriptures, to seek the Lord and get my life straight. Yeah? Statement number two. I need to take the anointing of God in my life seriously. Yeah? Amen. That's the only bad thing I'm going to say this morning. That's it. It's all good from now on. 1 Samuel 17, we're going to talk about David, and I got Holy Spirit just really helped. Man, I had so much stuff going on in my mind this morning, all good stuff, just how this is going to preach and come out. Seize it by the beard. 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. Y'all there? Yes. Tiffany's there. Amen, girl. Now, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when David spoke to the man, and Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, "Why have you come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness?" Everybody say, few sheep in the wilderness. Few sheep in the wilderness. Do you think Eliab's being sarcastic here, or do you think he's being serious? I think it's both, honestly, right? He's angry. He's jealous of David because he's the oldest brother. He should have got blessed and anointed according to the culture, right? But God chose the youngest. Pretty good pattern there, right? He says, "I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle." But David said, "What have I done now? Was it not a just question?" Right? King James would say, is there not a cause? Then he turned away from him and to another and said the same thing, and the people answered the same thing as before. So David's basically here asking, if you back up just a little bit, he's asking, what does the guy get that takes Goliath out? When the words of which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. And I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." And David said, The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Amen. I just want to read a few verses in the Message Bible. Again, did it last week, but just important that even the Message Bible is getting pretty good. David said in verse 34 of the Message, "I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, the lion or the bear turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. Lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. And I'll do the same to this Philistine pig who is taunting the troops of God alive. God who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear will deliver me from this Philistine." And Saul said, "Go, and God help you." Yeah, Saul's like, "You are crazy, bro." So let's paint this picture of this story for a few minutes. Now, I think we've all probably seen, like, people have drawn this or painted it or something, right? Can you turn that lights up on that little dot right there? I think they're down a little bit. I feel like I'm preaching at a cave. There we go. Everybody's awake and we can see. Praise God. So we've seen paintings of this, right? And you see Goliath, who I said a few weeks ago, he's like 9'6", right? And whatever, if you ever, I didn't study it out this particular time around, but it talks about how much his armor weighed, and it was like 500 shekels or something, right? And this says that his spear is got, it's like a weaver's beam. I mean, it's big, big, big fat beam. And that the head of his spear was like, you know, 100 shekels of iron or something. I mean, this guy's armor weighs so much that most of us wouldn't even be able to stand up if we put the armor on, right? And he, if you know anything about going to battle, you didn't wear armor that you were not able to still be agile in, right? That's why David took off Saul's armor. He says, I can't fight in this stuff. It's weighing me down, right? So we've all seen these drawings of like David's this little guy, and then boom, Goliath is this huge guy. But I want to back up from this story for a few moments here and talk about what is David's resume when he goes to Saul, right? He says to Saul, look, I was tending my father's sheep, and this lion came, and this bear came, and it took, everybody say, a lamb. Took a lamb, right? I saw this just yesterday morning. I've been reading this story, like, a lot the last few weeks, and I just happened to read through this, and I noticed the word lamb in there. I looked it up in many, many translations. Every single translation says lamb. The Hebrew word is not specific, but even the King James Version, there's a little asterisk by the word lamb right there, and you click on it, and my study software, and it says kid, which is a baby goat, right? So the guys that have translated that have determined that somehow it's a very specific thing that David's speaking about, right? He's not saying that this lion and this bear would come and they'd go after a full-grown sheep. It says that they're coming and they're finding a little baby. Yeah? Just go watch a documentary on over in Africa, right? When the cheetah is chasing all the wildebeest, they don't go after the big one. They find the sick ones and the babies, right? And they isolate them and boom, and they're done, right? So just hang on to that for a minute because I'm going to bring that back around, right? That they went after a lamb, right? Now, again, let's think about David. At this point in David's life, we don't know how old David is, but church, he's probably 15, maybe not even that old. So my house, I think most of you have been to my house up in Canton. We live up in the woods a little bit. And a couple years ago, I was mowing my grass on my tractor, came around the corner, there's all these big bushes, come around the corner, had Olivia on the tractor with me, and I'm holding her like this, she's right on the tractor. We come around the corner, and a black bear comes out the bushes about 10 feet in front of me. Big one. And so I stop, got the mower on, everything, I stop, and I'm holding her like with my hand on her chest, holding her like this, and her heart goes from like normal rate to like 1,000 beats a minute, like, click, you know, she's like, brrr. I mean, she's like, you know, like, I'm telling you, this bear is like no more from me to the wall. And so I said, well, just hang on, he's fine, he'd do nothing. You know, and he came out, and he just kind of looked at me like this, and then he kind of looked back and just kept going, and he had a tag on his ear, so obviously the police and everybody know that where he's at, right? But you know what? That particular time didn't bother me, but I tell you what, if that bear had turned and then started coming at me, I probably wouldn't have been quite as calm at that particular moment of time. Is that right? I remember years and years ago, we lived way up in Colebrook. If everybody knows where Colebrook is, man, that's way up there in the boonies, almost in Massachusetts. And one time in the summer, my mom was cooking pancakes and bacon and had the screen door open and all this stuff. And there was like behind our house, there was like 250 acres of nothing, right? So all of a sudden, and my neighbor had this humongous black dog, the biggest black dog I've ever seen in my life. So all of a sudden, I'm sitting with my back to the screen door. My mom says, hey, look at Cole's here. That was the dog. And I turn around, and it wasn't Cole. It was a bear. Like 4 feet behind me, and the only thing between me and this bear and bacon was a screen door. So, needless to say, I did not say, oh, wow, look at that crazy occurrence. Yeah, I jumped up and, whoa, you know, I'm getting out of the way, right? So just think about this, church. I mean, if you went to the zoo and there was a lion there, and all of a sudden, you know, the lion's behind bars, right? And you're like, wow, look at that lion, honey, isn't that cool? And all of a sudden, the bars open up, and the lion starts coming out, are you going to continue saying, wow, honey, isn't that interesting? Look at that lion coming right at us. What'd you eat for lunch? Hot dogs with beans? I think he likes that stuff. I don't know. We would be afraid, man. And I remember years ago when I used to read the story of David, I used to think, like, David's, what happened is, like, this lion came and David, like, huddled the sheep behind him and he takes his, like, his spear or his staff and he's like, he's just going, don't. And the lion, like, the movies, right? The lion, like, pounces and David just goes, he turns away and the lion just, like, impales itself on David's staff or something, right? And David's like, whoo, got away with that one. Praise God. But church, that's not what the Bible says happens here. The Bible says that David, as a young boy, 13 or 14 years old or 15 years old, is by himself in the middle of nowhere taking care of something that does not even belong to him. And all of a sudden he looks up and he sees a lion sneaking out of the bushes and it goes and grabs a little lamb and picks up this lamb in his mouth and starts heading off for lunch. And look how David describes what he does. He says, I chased it down. And I snatched this lamb out of its mouth. And I grabbed it by the beard. And I killed it. And then a few weeks later, he's out there and he sees it. He looks, he sees a bear coming out of the bushes. And this bear goes over and grabs another lamb, a little one, right? And he picks it up in its mouth. He starts heading into the bushes. And David says, I chased that one down. And I snatched the lamb out of its mouth. And I grabbed it by the chin. And I killed it. I don't know about you, but if I had like a 50 caliber, right, on my hip. Like, you ever seen them big handguns? Like you could stick your thumb in the barrel at the end of the, I mean, if I had one of those in the bear camp, I'd still be like, can I hide somewhere? Right? I mean, come on, man. Nobody in their right mind is going to go after a bear. Right? What do they tell you? I don't know if this works. I hope I never have to find out. What do they tell you if you go up to like Alaska where they got grizzlies and stuff? You know what they tell you? Play dead. I don't even know if I'm brave enough to do that. Right? Come on, church. They're telling you, hey, just lie down on your back and pretend you're dead. I'm like, I am going to run. I'm running, man. There's no way. Right? But you know what, church? I was thinking about this. Hopefully I never have to do this, God forbid. But you know what? If that bear, when I was riding, mowing my grass with Olivia, if that bear decided to go after my kid, I tell you what, something's going to rise up inside of me that ain't me. And that bear is going to have a fight on its hands. Because you ain't getting my baby. Church, are you catching this? David is risking his life, the youngest of eight sons. Even Eliab says it's just a few sheep. David says in a few chapters later that he's a poor man, right? He's the youngest of eight. His father's only got a few sheep. So that means even if he gets nothing from God, even his inheritance, that was a few weeks back, his inheritance is very, very small. David's even thinking, you know what? I mean, just think about it. If we were selfish and thinking, okay, so I'm the youngest of eight, that means Eliab gets a double portion and then they split the rest up seven ways. He's like, that sheep's probably not mine. So I'll let the lion have that. And that one probably belongs to Eliab, and I don't really like him all that much. So whatever. I still got these sheep are actually mine. So I'm going to make sure these sheep are good because this is my portion in the inheritance. But David, church, is out here risking his life for something that he will never get. Right? Remember my sermon a few weeks back was what? Embrace your obscurity. And I was telling Pastor El early this morning before service started, I said, you know, it just hit me this morning. What we're seeing, and I'm going to unfold this for the next few minutes, what we're seeing in David's life here is literally the story, the parable of the talents. God positioned David in a place where he was given a small amount to manage and to protect. And the Bible says that if we are faithful in a small thing, that God will do what? Place us in authority over a great thing. And I went, oh my gosh, it's the story of David. Can I get amen on this, church? See, so many times we're, I think this is in my notes somewhere, but I saw something a few weeks ago, and this gentleman, I don't even know if he's a Christian or not, honestly, but the guy said, it's better to prepare for something, to prepare for an opportunity and never get it, than to not prepare and have one present itself. Right? How many times have you ever thought, you watch somebody doing something, you think, man, I could definitely do that. And then the opportunity comes and you go, ooh, my bad. Right? Come on, church. Yeah? We always look at something and say, man, I think I could do that. You know, you probably can, but it's not as easy as it looks. Right? No matter what it is. Wow, that person really makes it look easy. Well, that's because they practiced, man. And they did it for a long time. They practiced when nobody was looking. They practiced when if they nailed that jump or they nailed this thing or they did it just right, there were no applause. They were practicing it so when it's time to do it, when everybody was looking, they were ready to do it and ready to do it with perfection. They didn't have to think about all the techniques and I got to do it just like this. They got all that stuff worked out. Right? We got to embrace those times when nobody's looking, man. We can just be, it's just us and God. See, David had something going on the inside. He had some kind of incredible confidence in the Lord way before his encounter with Goliath. Way before he was ever anointed. Way before he was ever even called. According to the scriptures, church, he risked his life chasing lions and bears before Samuel anointed him. Right? But again, who's the one that put David in that place? It's God. I've always heard this preached, and it really targets, every time I've heard this story preached, they always target pastors with it, right? Because if you look up the Greek word in the New Testament where you see pastor, the Greek word means shepherd, right? That's how it's directly translated. So there's prophecies throughout the Old Testament that specifically are prophesying about shepherds, right? And most people would say, yeah, this is a prophecy really about pastors in the New Testament, and that's fine. But I want to take this story and shift it a little bit and apply it to each one of us and to our church and say this, the sheep, so just everybody raise your hand. Raise your hand, everybody, even you young folks, and just say, I'm a David. I'm a David. Right? So because you're David, God is going to put you in a place and give you some sheep to take care of. And they're not yours. You know what? He may have you manage something that you never, ever get. And the whole thing is a test from the Lord to see if you're going to handle yourself properly and be a person of integrity and be a person of character when there's no reward on the horizon. You know, church, it's much easier to do something that we don't particularly like if there's a reward imminent, right? I know that if I do this for this long, I'm going to get to that, right? I mean, there was something going on Facebook recently. He said, would you give up coffee for a year if somebody gave you $100,000? I was like, nope. Nope. I don't know if I could make it like 3 days for that thing, man. I mean, you know what I'm saying. But, right, this is a kind of a joke. Nobody's going to do that. But you see what I'm saying, church? If somebody says, I'm going to do this and I'll give you that, we're like, okay, let me think about that. But there's none of this in David's life. I know I'm belaboring this point, but it's important. Yeah? Your Father who is in heaven has placed some things that really don't belong to you, but that you have to care for in your hands. And are you willing to protect your sheep? Right? Think about this. The second failure in David's life, we always talk about Bathsheba, but the second failure in David's life was when he decided to take a census of his army, right? And he decided to see how many mighty men he had. And Bathsheba was bad, and God was upset about it, and we know that story, and there's a lot of consequences for that sin, right? But the second time, he counts his mighty men. And you know why God is so angry with him, church, is because it's the first time in his life. David is like probably in his 60s at this point. It's the first time ever in his entire life that he decided to see how strong he was without God. That is why God is so angry with him and so upset about this. It's literally like David just slaps God right in the face and says, you know what? I don't need you anymore. I've got this one. Think about that. David is, I just can't even fathom wrestling a lion on purpose. Right? Like if he catches me, I'll try to fight a little bit. You know, like one of these where you put like one of these fights, you know, and you go, stop, you know. I mean, but come on, what do you do against a lion for crying out loud? Right? But David is just, boom, he says, I took that thing out. I love the message. He says, I knocked it down. How does a 14-year-old kid knock down a bear? Right? I'm just trying to picture this in my mind going, I don't get it. Amen. The Lord spoke to me this week, a very simple statement, but very powerful. And I'm about to start really letting this one rip, I think, by the Holy Ghost. But this was what the Lord said to me. It was like Wednesday this week. I shared it with one person already, but this is the statement. The Lord said to me, you are not helpless. You're not helpless. And church, I saw this morning. I was going to just preach this with just fire, but I don't know. We'll see if it comes out that way. But I want you to get it, man. That's more important than me ripping it at you. Amen? We've got to see this, man. God is saying, look, I've called this church to be a David church, a church after my own heart, a church that is going to do the right thing in a place where nobody sees it. We're going to take our lions and bears. We're going to stop looking at something. If something happens to us, we go, okay, maybe God will bring it back around again. You know what? Maybe he won't. Maybe what God is trying to say to you is get off of your butt and go chase that thing down and take back what the devil took away from you. Come on, church. What does Peter say about the devil? Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a what? A little kitten, and maybe he'll scratch you. No, like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. What is going on with David? He says what? Some lion came sneaking out of the bushes seeking something to devour. Can I suggest to you that I think it really happened, obviously, but maybe this is a metaphor here. It's not a coincidence that Peter describes the devil like that. He's like, look it, you have got the same anointing on you that David had. He hadn't been anointed publicly yet. All he had was a personal relationship with God. He looked at God. He was singing songs to God. He knew who God was. And he says, you know what? A man of integrity takes responsibility for what he's been given by God. Well, God can restore everything. You're right, he certainly can. But maybe, just maybe, God is saying, I'm waiting for you to get some boldness in your life and stop whining and crying about, why does this keep happening to me? Telling you what, church, I am guilty, man. Come on, I said last Sunday, I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching with you. Come on. You know what? I'm looking at stuff. I tell you what, there's areas of my life I've got this nailed down, man. We had something a few years back where something came after one of my kids spiritually. I discerned it. I saw what was going on, and I got so angry inside, right? Outside, I was perfectly calm, didn't minister to one of my kids. But I was like, you done picked the wrong house. I literally, man, I was inside. I was like raging, like, man, I was in full Hulk mode on the inside, man. Green and muscles and, man, it was not pretty, I tell you what. I literally, church, I took, I'm talking to one of my kids, gentle and quiet like a shepherd would with a lamb, right? But inside, I am like, in the spirit, I'm going to town on this thing. And I literally walked out of one of their bedrooms. I walked down to the front door, I opened the door up of the house. I said, get out of my house right now in Jesus' name. I pay the bills here. This is a house of God, and you ain't welcome in this place. Church, you know what? I actually physically felt some kind of cold thing go past me and go out the door, and I said, don't even think about coming back. Is that right? Oh, maybe God will deliver me. Right, he's going to deliver you through your own hand. I just can't stop sinning. Yes, you can. You're not helpless. Church, come on, man. Here it comes. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Oh, that's a good one, Pastor. Well, maybe we should start believing it, for crying out loud. Look, if Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, is living inside of me, then what on earth is stronger than that? Nothing. Man, can something come at us and we kind of get thrown a little bit? Sure, but man, shake yourself off and say, man, that's it. I'm done allowing stuff to get stolen from my life. Amen. Talking about the lamb, bringing that all the way back around, think about this for just a moment. Isn't it interesting? It's so fascinating to me that it highlights that it's a lamb. And the Holy Spirit this morning was saying to me, son, look, there's things in your life that the devil, again, so it's kind of almost opposite of what I said a little while ago. Would the devil want to take you out when you got no influence, when you got a lot of influence, right? But I'm not talking about your influence. I'm talking about promises that he's made to you personally. Amen. Prophetic words over your life. Come on. If you get a prophetic word, does that mean a prophetic word is going to happen? If this person right here says, Lord, Pastor, I got a word for you, prophesy, Jesus' name, amen, and I go home and sit on my couch and eat potato chips and watch football, is that prophetic word going to come to life? No. I've got to embrace that thing, and I've got to say, okay, I believe that word, and I'm going to grab onto that thing, and I'm going to say, okay, Lord, I'm here, and that word's there. What am I going to do to get from where I am to where that thing's going? What's got to change? What's got to go? What's got to get taken down in my life? What's got to get added to my life? I'm not going to get where I got to go if I'm going to stay where I'm at. Yeah. If you leave church today and put in your GPS, I want to go to such and such a restaurant, and then just turn your car and leave it in park, you ever going to get to that restaurant? No, man. You got to start taking some practical steps to move towards that destination. Is that right? So you know what the Lord's saying to me? Look at, son, I'm going to give you some sheep in your life. Some of those sheep are things that don't belong to you, but just like in David's life, there was a portion of that flock that did belong to him. And you know what? He didn't know which one it was. So he says, I'm going to protect all of it because I don't know which part of it actually belongs to me. Yeah? You know what? When you get a promise from God, the devil will do everything he can do to try to steal it from you. Oh, he'll come at you like, oh, your dad's... Come on, you really think that that's going to happen in your life? You really think that you're smart enough? You really think that you're qualified enough? You really think that you da-da-da-da-da-da? Come on, church. Is David, as a 13-year-old kid, qualified to take a lion down? Probably not. Is he a ninja? Probably not. It doesn't even say that he had a weapon. I love the message. It said, the message says, I grabbed it by the throat and wringed its neck. I don't know about y'all, but... when I used to play basketball, a lot of basketball when I was younger and a little bit skinnier, 13-year-old kids could not beat me on a basketball court, for sure. Can I get an amen? Some of you are like, I don't believe you. So if 13-year-old kids can't beat me on a basketball court, how can they beat a lion? Right? I mean, lion's the king of the beast, church, yeah? So I said a few weeks back, we need to take down our lions and our bears. And I'm encouraging all of you, each one of you, personally, and then also corporately, right? So here's some corporate things. Let me just throw some corporate things out that we've got to recognize, start recognizing as a lion and a bear, and stop taking a passive stance against it and hoping that it'll just go away. Yeah? Here's a scripture for you. Be diligent to maintain the spirit of peace and the bond of unity. Does that sound like a passive stance to that? Or does that sound like I've got to be on guard and I've got to watch what's going on and I've got to notice when little things start creeping in and I start having unfounded bad thoughts about people? Yeah? Here's one thing the Lord, it's funny, this sermon, I had a full sermon done. And then I read back through it, and I literally highlighted the entire thing and then deleted it and said, I'm going to start over. But there are some things in there that I think I need to just let it rip here this morning. Many, many times, and look, church, just everybody raise your hand and say, I've done this. Okay, you don't even know what you've done, but I guarantee you've done it, all right? So I'm going to tell you because I've done it, right? We look at a situation and we see somebody behaving a certain way, or somebody says something, or come on, let's face it. Most of us don't see each other outside of a couple hours on Sunday and maybe a Tuesday or Wednesday night, right? So we get a very small snapshot of what's going on in somebody else's life. Is that right? Yeah? So what can happen is I can hear somebody say something, or I can observe some behavior or whatever, but I'm getting a really 168 hours in a week. And I see you, most of you, for two or three or maybe five or six if I'm lucky, right? So I'm getting a really, really small snapshot of what's going on in your life. But there have been times when the Holy Spirit has given me discernment and insight to what's going on in somebody's world. I can just see it, and the Holy Spirit shows me something, and I say, wow, okay. And I pray about that. And however it eventually works itself out, maybe we get to talk about it. Or they might even come to me and say, hey, Pastor, I got to tell you, here's what's going on in my life. And I say, wow, that's okay, man. But you know what? The Lord's already been talking to me about that. I've been praying for you and whatever. It's great. Yeah. But there have been many times, unfortunately, that I have looked at a certain situation and thought that I was discerning things properly and thought I was giving some insight, and then drew a conclusion out of the things that I was seeing, only to discover that the discernment that I thought that I had was incorrect. Right? Can I suggest to you that if your discernment ends up being incorrect, it was not discernment at all. It was not discernment at all. And here's my point, church. Right? What did I say a few minutes ago about it? We've got to stop just letting things get stolen. Right? And the Lord said to me, son, when that happens to you, don't just blow it off and say, oh, geez, I missed that one. Because that's what we do. Let's think about it. We don't think about that I just hurt this person by assuming this about their life. I assume this, assume that. And so now I actually get enough guts to say something, but I'm wrong, and now I've hurt this person. I've offended them. And even if they say, hey, don't worry about it, it's fine, no worries. Okay, but there's still been some damage done. Is that right, church? Yeah? So, and what I say is, I say, you know, man, I'm really sorry about that, and just, wow, Lord, help me next time. But you know what the Lord said to me? He said, son, how about you step back and examine your own soul and say, what led me to that conclusion? Why did I think that about that person? Yeah? You know what I've discovered in my own life, I'll just talk about me, is my own past. People say things that I don't, and it's so subtle. It just kind of creeps in, and all of a sudden it's like, why did I think that? And that's what I'm really, there's a thing we've got to go after, man, because the devil hates unity. There's a sheep, right? This church is in more unity now than it's ever been. I've been here. Can I get amen on that? I think we're doing pretty good, right? But I got to say, church, it's still in the lamb stage, right? Let's just be honest. It's good. It's birthed. It's growing. We're feeding that thing. We're protecting it, but it's still in the lamb stage. So what we've got to be corporately with that David is look for some kind of lion to sneak in and try to steal that lamb and run away with it. I say, no, I'm going to chase that thing down, and I'm going to take that back out of its mouth, and you ain't getting this thing again. I'm not letting that thing go one more time. I'm going to chase you down, and I'm going to get what you're taking away from me. I'm going to get what you're taking away from this church, and we're going to restore it, and I'm going to take you out once and for all. Yeah? Church, it happens at home when we get into fights with our spouses. You know, well, we apologize, we made up. Okay, fine, but the problem is you keep getting in these fights. There's something wrong. We've got to just stop saying, man, I apologize, and oh, honey, I'm really sorry. But you know what, church, for me, I just how I look at it. If I'm really sorry, I'm going to change. If I'm really sorry that I hurt you, then I'm going to really examine and say, man, why do we keep fighting about stuff? Why do I keep getting angry? Why do I keep getting bitter? Why do I keep doing this? Why is this going on? Not why are you doing what you're doing? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Right? Sometimes we think we can just take a passive stance, as I said a moment ago. We can allow the devil to take something away from us. We can allow our past pain to steal our present peace and our future victory, all the while thinking that God will eventually bring it around again. And church, maybe he will. Maybe he will. Can I get amen on that? Come on, we have all, Lord, give me another shot at that. Yeah? I prayed that a lot. Lord, give me one more shot at that. I blew it, but come on, bring it around again. But you know, there's many stories in the Bible of people that did not get another chance at it. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about going to heaven or not going to heaven. I'm talking about destiny on earth. Amen. Right? Saul lost his destiny. Could not get it back. Right? But you know what? David, I'm going to wrap up with just one more point right here with David, church. Think about what God's promise to David was. There will never fail to be a man on the throne of Israel from the house of David. Right? Now, is there a king over the physical nation of Israel right now from the descendants of David? Everybody say no, because there's not. So is it a physical nation of Israel, or is it a spiritual nation of Israel? It's a spiritual, he's talking about the church, right? And Jesus is the descendant of David, right? He says, there's a righteous root of Jesse coming, and that day when he comes, all these promises start being unfolded. Is that right, church? So look, what am I saying to you? The difference is, if my heart is a David heart, if I've got this David heart where I'm a man of integrity and I'm doing everything I can to protect what God has entrusted me with, I'm a five-talent guy. I'm taking those five talents and I'm going to do something with it. I'm a two-talent guy. I'm going to take those two talents. I'm going to do something with what God's given me. I'm going to protect it. I'm going to grow it. I'm going to help it to mature and to get bigger and better than what God gave it to me in the first place. God says, like, good, well done, man. The Lord said to me years ago, son, if I gave you something and you blew it, trying your best and working it out, if you lost everything and you're doing what I told you to do, well done. Well done. You know, some of us are so afraid to fail that we won't do anything. What if it doesn't work? Well, you know what? If you don't try, you'll never know. Right? Yeah. But the one talent guy, what did he do? He buried it, right? And he says, Lord, I need to be a harsh master. So reaping where you do not sow. Right? Interesting to me that the master doesn't say, no, I'm not like that. You don't understand who I am. The master doesn't even address that. He says, no, you wicked and lazy servant. You should have at least put the money in the bank and made it grow. But because you've done nothing, I'm going to take away what you even have and give it to the one with 10 talents. Right? Church, this isn't heaven. That's here and now. That's a test, right? At some point, he says he's going to go in. He's going to come back. The master's going to come back and see what we've done. Right? But look at David. Let's all stand up, because David was faithful and risked everything to be responsible for what God had entrusted to him. He was given great things. Yeah? So, Lord, we just thank you for this time together. We ask, oh God, that you would help us, Father, to see that even the things that we don't think are important, the things that we tend to go, oh, that's no big deal, those things are the biggest deal. That's the most important thing. Oh, well, you know what? That didn't work out. Maybe I'll get another shot at it. You know what? But just maybe I'm supposed to chase that thing down and go get it again. That's mine. That promise is mine. That dream is mine. That prophecy is mine. You are not taking it away from me. Lord, that we would start rising up with that boldness of David, God, because he had the boldness to fight Goliath because of the confidence he had with lions and bears. Lord, let us handle our lions and bears properly so that when Goliath comes, we won't be afraid. You know, church, last little picture as I wrap this up. Some reason I've always pictured when David goes to the front line right there, like, I know there's the army is there, that's what the Bible says, but I've never really thought about how many men are there because the Bible says the entire army is terrified. But if we back up just a couple of chapters from 17, we see the story of Saul going out in battle, and the Bible says he got 330,000 men and went to battle. And it's only two chapters later or three chapters later that we see this story come back around. There's been no battles in between, and the Bible doesn't say any of those men died. So just think about this. I'm not saying it's totally right, but maybe it is. Let's say, just for example, there's 330,000 men, soldiers, warriors in this battle line. And the Bible says every one of them was too scared to fight. So here's this boy comes and he starts walking among all these grown men with all their armor and all their weapons and all their stuff. And Saul says, "Aren't you scared too?" And he says, "Nope. I'll take him down." See, church, it's not about being qualified. It's not about being equipped properly. I mean, all that stuff's important. We need to equip folks. We need to learn. We need to grow. We need all that stuff. But David, church, David was not qualified to take down Goliath. He was anointed to do so. Yeah? So, Lord, we just ask that you'd help us to see this, Father God, that we are a David church. We are a church after your own heart, God. We are a church that is seeking you. We are a church that is a church of integrity. We are a church that will do the right thing, even in the secret place when we could get away with doing the wrong thing. We're a church that we're not going to let any more lambs get taken away. But God, that we will stop being passive. We will stop being, oh, well, maybe it'll work out. Maybe it won't. No, we're going to grab onto something. Lord, we're going to grab onto what you've spoken over this house. We're going to grab onto what you've spoken over our homes and our families and our children. We're going to grab onto those things. And we're saying, you know what? This is what God said about this situation. And I'm not quitting until I see it come to pass. So, Father, we thank you for boldness. For boldness, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. If anybody needs prayer, please come up. If you're struggling with fear or anxiety or those types of things, church, we're going to take that stuff down in Jesus' name. Yeah? So once you come, if that's you, come on up. We'll pray with you. We'll agree that for God's best in your life. Other than that, guys, have an awesome week again. Tuesday, there's nothing on Tuesday night here at the church. Wednesday night, we have prayer at 7:30. I encourage y'all to come out. We have awesome times of prayer, and we'll see you next week. Amen. Bless you guys.